Welcome to Just Get Dressed with me, Samantha Harmon, the style editor. I'm an editor turned style strategist and the author of the best-selling book, Just Get Dressed. Join me as we talk all things wardrobe, identity, wealth, and visibility. To start this episode, I have a question for you. Do you believe that you are here by coincidence? I don't just mean listening to this episode. Something compelled you. You chose to listen to this episode. So that's not coincidental. I mean, you here on the planet at this time, do you think that that's a coincidence? Or do you think that there's a reason behind it? Of all of the situations that could have happened, of all of the potential scenarios, you exist here as you are with your incredible thoughts and messages and ideas that you want to share. Do you believe that's coincidence? Because I certainly don't. I think there's a reason that you're here at this point of massive technological revolution, which means that it's easier than ever. In fact, easy full stop, because at one point in history, this was not possible at all. You have access to incredible tools for free or for relatively inexpensively to help you to become what it is that you always dreamed of. I don't believe it's a coincidence. And I have this weird thing with manifestation, not just through clothes, but I believe that if you had an idea as a child, something that has occurred to me in the process of writing this book is that it was never a coincidence, that it was always destined to happen. As some of you might know, this is not included in the book, but it's a story that I've shared before about the book writing process and why it means so much to me, is that when I was a little girl, I found a briefcase and I'd walk around our council estate with this briefcase, imagining the books that I had written. I don't believe that that was a coincidence. I don't even believe it was imagination. I believe it was manifestation. I believe that in some way, shape or form, I knew that was my destiny. And I was reading Emma Greed's book recently, Start With Yourself. And in that book, she has a similar story about a Christmas tree. She, as a child, used to draw this Christmas tree in front of this window over and over again. She had this vision of this Christmas tree. And then when she became successful with her book, one Christmas, she was standing in front of the Christmas tree in her house and she realized that was the vision that she had had. So is it coincidence that you are here at this time, or is it fate? Is it destiny? Was it always meant to be? And I know that sounds like a huge question, but it's an important one, because if you are thinking of writing a book or starting a business or dressing more bravely or getting yourself out there on a podcast or speaking on stages, whatever it is that you want to do, there will be times when you won't feel like doing it, when you will want to run and hide, where people will say shit to you, where people will be mean to you, where you'll get a bad review, a bad piece of press, and you will want to shrink. And it's very important that you remember that you are here for a reason. And you always knew what that reason was, and you're here for such a time as this. You have access to the tools that your grandmother did not. And this brings me on to an exclusive that I want to share with you, which is the epilogue of my book, and it's Audrey's story. And I'm going to read it to you now. She could hear the sirens, darkness. Across the city, giant lights searched the sky. She lit her candle and she went back to her book. Audrey was born in September 1927. She was the eldest of five children and lived with her parents in Portsmouth. They were a working class family and her dad worked in the dockyard, one of the biggest employers of the city at the time. From an early age, Audrey had serious aptitude. She excelled at maths and English. Her parents couldn't afford much, but when she was 11, Audrey was awarded a scholarship to study at grammar school. At a meeting with the school, her mother wasn't sure it was a good idea, but the teacher was insistent because she believed in Audrey's potential. But then, days after Audrey's 12th birthday, Britain declared war. No grammar school for Audrey. Audrey was a bookworm, and she'd often be told off for reading with a candle under her bed when the air raid sirens went off. Portsmouth was savaged in the war thanks to its naval base. Audrey's dad would tell stories about finding body parts in the wreckage. The family lived in Amelia Street in central Portsmouth, an area for dockyard families, and their house got flattened in a strike which killed 18 people on December the 23rd, 1940. By the grace of something unknown, the family were visiting an auntie in Clanfield. Otherwise, they could have been wiped out. They were relocated after the bombing to Wimmering, North Portsmouth. Soon enough, Audrey, with her younger brothers and sister, was evacuated to the Isle of Wight, which is around 5 miles off mainland UK. She was told under no circumstances should she allow her siblings to be separated. That's the curse of the eldest daughter. When she becomes a sibling, she becomes a stand-in parent. When Audrey and her siblings arrived on the Isle of Wight, residents came to collect evacuated children. But space for one or two children is very different to having space for five. Audrey refused to allow her siblings to be separated, and hours passed. It didn't look good. Eventually, a kindly old man turned up at the station and agreed to take them all. After the war, age 19, Audrey was back in Portsmouth working in a hospital when she met a Glaswegian soldier named Jock. They married straight away and soon after had their first baby, one of seven. It was only on the maternity ward, when she was about to give birth, that Audrey learned from another mother where babies actually come from. Audrey was having babies from the age of 19 to the age of 40. Jock was arguably not a good husband. He was often away for work, in scrapes with the police, sometimes in prison, and the host of big parties for the entire estate on which he'd spend most of the family's money. He was reportedly on the front of national newspapers when he got sent down for a fray. One of their children, Kathy, had cerebral palsy and passed away at age 16. But despite their hardships and what must have been deep-seated trauma from the circumstances of their lives, they loved each other fiercely. Audrey was a hard worker, taking on all sorts of jobs during her younger years in between children. She had a tough shell and a soft interior, though she was not particularly maternal, which perhaps makes sense since she became a standing parent as a wartime child. Her younger brother Lenny lived with her and Jock for a long time, and even though his name was often Mudge, she made sure to look after Len. She could talk shit about Lenny all day long, but if anyone else tried it, they would be in trouble. Except on Saturdays, after she'd been into the spirits, when she'd chuck him out and he'd walk past the house with his middle fingers up, shouting expletives. Whilst Audrey could be considered flawed, as all humans are, in glamour, she was otherworldly. She had it, the je ne sais quoi, that mysterious way of looking effortlessly stylish, though I suspect secretly it took a lot of effort. Pictures of her from the 1960s show her wearing fur coats and lipstick, and she would not be seen dead outside without perfectly coiffed hair, soaked in perfume to hide the stale cigarette smoke. She used to let one of her granddaughters brush and style her hair when she was little. Audrey would not set foot out the door with unbrushed hair. Even in her later years, she would take her time getting ready for a trip to the supermarket, always in a blazer and large sunglasses. She was an early adopter of the UGG boot and loved a neck scarf. Audrey died relatively penniless, a serious chain smoker and frequent drinker, in a small council house over the road from the one that she grew up in and five doors down from the one in which she raised her family. In life, she was intelligent, bold, sassy, sometimes angry, passionate, emotional, hypocritical, sometimes chaotic, funny, often drunk, and objectively striking. She had auburn hair that matched her personality, so bright and rich it looked like the candles she used to read her books by. But Audrey never got to fulfill her potential. And whilst her story is not a sad one, because how can a life filled with love be called anything other than a triumph? What might she have become, achieved, or created had she been able to go to grammar school? What might she have done if she were in her youth today with the tools available to us? What schemes, dreams, and goals could she have achieved with a mobile phone in her hand? What could she have done with a Wi-Fi connection and half-decent coffee? Audrey was my grandmother, and I'm the one who used to love brushing her hair. And she is the reason I wrote this book. I can still hear her raspy laugh, smell her perfume, taste the meal she used to make us, which was ice cream soda and Jaffa cakes, because she was not a good chef. I still laugh sometimes at how she would see us coming up the road and, having been told off for endlessly smoking, could be seen through the lace curtains going shit, 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 spraying air freshener all around the room and making it worse. Audrey is the person I think of when I'm procrastinating over writing this book. when the bigness of the concepts I unfurl in these pages feel too much, when I imagine the first shitty Amazon review or the people who are just waiting for me to fuck it up. She risked her life to read books, and the least I can do is write one. I think about her when I get dressed in the morning. I remember how she always, always put herself together. She used clothes as armor, branding, and comfort. I remember her now through clothes, and that is their enduring power. Every time I put on a navy blazer or a big pair of sunglasses, I am channeling my inner Audrey. Because right up until the end, she just got dressed. The challenges, the tasks, and the words in my book are for every woman here, now, and in the future. Every woman who needs a regular reminder of who the fuck she is. And they are also for the women before us who never got the opportunity to find out.